This week, we're looking back at 2016 and what an extraordinary year it's been. We'll be talking to a selection of our great analysts and experts from around the world and splitting the discussion into three main areas. We'll begin, and this was a year when there was really only one place to start, with the United States, the country's economic strength, and of course that shock election result. Emerging markets growth and profit pickup, despite some wobbles in China, will also be up for discussion, as will continued loose monetary settings and some fresh central bank innovations. We start with a look at political volatility over the last 12 months, including the US election shock. So, 2016, what a year. Several things stand out for Simon Smiles, UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth. He lists them for us.
I think there are a number of things that stand out from this year that at the time seemed quite extraordinary, but in retrospect were actually quite ordinary. And the first was the benefits of having a well-diversified portfolio and investing over time once again really paid out. And we started with one of the worst years ever in terms of January and February's performance for risk assets. And yet we come to the end of the year and US equities are up almost 15%. European equities are up. US high yields up significantly. Emerging market equities are up. Oil's up almost 50%, etc. So the path felt terrible, but just holding and investing over time in a diversified portfolio actually paid, you know, significant dividends. I think the second thing that felt extraordinary, but in fact was very ordinary this year, was politics simply didn't matter. Time and time again, newspaper headlines get swept with political concerns and fears. And yet for financial markets, time and time again, it's not politics that matters. Instead, it's the fundamentals. It's the earnings fundamentals, it's the economic fundamentals, and it's the reaction of central banks to those. This year, perfect example. It took 3 days for the market to digest Brexit. It took 3 hours for the market to digest Donald Trump's surprise election to the US presidency. It took 3 minutes for financial markets to adapt and adjust to the Italian referendum result. And yet, if you looked at the headlines before each of those events and the expectations of what would happen should those arise, you know, it was very, very different circumstance, doom and gloom being projected. So once again, fundamentals mattering more than politics, I think, was the second thing I took from this year. And the third thing I took from this year, key takeaway, is expert forecasters, be it pollsters, be it financial market pundits, etc., have a high chance, unfortunately, of getting major events wrong. Not only did most pundits get events such as the Brexit vote and the US presidency election result wrong, they also got the reaction of financial markets to those events wrong. So once again, diversifying one's bets, expressing investment views across a diversified portfolio, it's boring, it's old, it's constantly repeated, but you know, this year once again showed it probably is the best investment advice any of us can have.
Let's hear next from a couple of our other regular analysts on what 2016 meant to them. Here's Kiran Ganesh, UBS Cross Asset Strategist. What looms largest for Kiran from the year just gone?
Very early mornings and political shocks, I think, are probably the two biggest memories from 2016. Both the surprise results of Brexit and of the election of Donald Trump, I think, are clearly the standout events of 2016 in my mind.
Dirk Effenberger in Zurich heads the cross-regional investment office at the UBS Wealth Management CIO. 2016 was characterised, agrees Dirk, by political surprises.
We all remember the surprising outcome of the UK referendum and also recently the surprising outcome of the US election. I think that were the key events, both from a political perspective but also from an investor point of view, I guess.
Tom McLaughlin in New York City is co-head of the CIO Fundamental Research Team. Here's Tom's main 2016 takeaway.
The principal takeaway we've been discussing quite a bit here in New York is the fact that the political elite in New York and Washington and California took Donald Trump literally but not seriously, whereas most of the voters in many of the states in the country took him seriously but not literally. And that distinction may tell the tale for the last quarter of this year. The surprising election of Donald Trump is the thing that obviously shook the U.S. market quite a bit and probably the world markets as well. And I think it was a question of perception and the degree to which Mr. Trump, as our president-elect, is and how he's going to govern in 2017.
Soledad Lopez is emerging market equity strategist at UBS Wealth Management in New York. There was much political volatility and plenty of associated challenges in 2016. Is that Soledad's main takeaway?
I think what is interesting is in the beginning, the first 2 weeks, for example, emerging market equities dropped around 15%. And this happened after having at least 3 years of negative returns. So the point is, after that, emerging market assets, they started like stellar rally, and equities, for example, increased 20%. Year to date, they are most of EM asset class 10% or higher. So I think the interesting is when you look back, we faced from concern about capital outflows in China, tensions in the Middle East, we had the impeachment process in Brazil, politics, uncertainty in Turkey, sanctions in Russia, and going forward, we're still looking at how it's going to be, if we're going to see any change in protectionism in the U.S. So, and let's not even forget about South Africa. So when you mention all these political uncertainties and all these changes, what is interesting is the index still up 10%. So for us, what we take from here is that fundamentals prevail, and fundamentals have been pushing emerging market assets higher in 2016. When you look at economic activity, it's been picking up. Company earnings are improving in emerging market. I was looking just to give you some numbers. In emerging market equities, earnings increased 8% from the bottom in February. PMIs in EM are above 50, which means expansion. They're 51.2. Asia is improving. Latin America, EMEA, most of the regions are improving. Commodity prices are also stabilizing or even rising. And I think that's been supportive for the asset class for emerging markets in 2016. So I think that's for us the lesson for this year, right?
Carolina Corvalan is in the UBS Global Investment Office. In Zurich, continued loose monetary settings stand out as having defined the year, she says.
Well, I think we've seen a lot of easy or continued easy monetary policy and seen central banks delve further into non-standard monetary policy. And I think that we've seen that central banks can always innovate further and don't have a necessarily restricted toolbox when it comes to further promoting easy monetary policy. So that was very supportive for asset or global asset classes, in particular credit. Credit performed very, very well this year. And that has been a huge support.
And we'll have more on loose monetary settings and central bank performance later, but on with our wrap of 2016. Bob Swarup's an author, investment advisor and fund manager, and has been a regular voice on this programme. Through 2016, political volatility was front and centre, but what did we learn about underlying US economic strength given events like November's shock election result?
The election probably emphasised the fact that a large part of the US feels disenfranchised and feels that any recovery is only a recovery in name. I mean, the general strength of the U.S. economy has been better. On the other hand, what's also been clear in the U.S. economy is that there's a lot of fragility underneath. I mean, bear in mind that the Fed has been very, very slow to raise rates. I mean, for example, if we've been talking now about three rate rises in 2017, let's not forget at the end of 2015, they were talking about there being at least two rate rises in 2016. That never happened. Go back 2 years earlier, same talk for 2015 didn't happen. Why? Because at every point when you look at the economy, you find that there's so much fragility in the system that they're just too nervous. And that probably says more, I think, about the strength of the U.S. economy. To be honest, I think what the Trump election does also is it actually probably exposes those fragilities just that bit more. I mean, for example, I don't know how much you've been looking at the data in the U.S., but housing starts in the U.S. have started to tail off again because mortgage rates have basically gone up by a whole percent point since Trump got elected, mainly because people are pricing in all of the Fed rises plus the new spectre of Trumpflation. And, you know, my suspicion is that even though the Fed's talking about three rate rises, they'll again become dovish because at this moment in time, there's still too much bad debt in the system for them to really be allowing, you know, the system to reflate quickly.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the emerging market picture for 2016 and consider how central banks have fared too. Our next theme as we review 2016 is the emerging markets picture. how best to sum up the emerging market picture. In terms of growth, we had some China wobbles, but nevertheless, we did see profit pick up. Here's Bob Swarup's view.
Well, yeah, I think it was a value play in 2016, because after they had the initial wobble with the strengthening dollar and then, of course, a lot of debt being dollar-denominated, there were some great pickings in there. And, of course, don't forget India suddenly came roaring back into the markets. Far from being, you know, the sick child of the BRICS, it suddenly became the superstar. Next year, I think, will be tougher for the emerging markets. And bear in mind, the dollar's been strengthening quite a lot. And ignoring the fact that strengthening dollars anyway are going to be problematic to the U.S., in the emerging markets, that will always cause volatility and weakness, because for them, the strengthening dollar simply means higher borrowing costs. It means, you know, tougher things to export, etc., things like that. I think what's interesting also is that if you look at all the stuff that's been going back and forth between China and the U.S., that's going to dominate more and more, I think, 2017 for emerging markets. Everyone's going to be watching to see what Donald Trump does, for example, with the corporate cash flows that are sitting offshore. I mean, he's talked a lot about tax breaks and repatriation. What people forget is that while that might be wonderful for the U.S. economy in terms of lots more share buybacks, a lot of those cash pools in effect are what is sitting, providing liquidity to the emerging markets from a dollar perspective.
And summing up 2016 and possibly gazing even into 2017, in terms of growth and profit pickup, what's the picture from here on in Soledad Lopez's view?
We'll likely continue to pick up. We expect close to 3-7% earning growth for EM equities next year. When you look at different forward-looking variables, you're starting to see turning points. The earnings revision ratio, for example, which is the number of analysts that upgrade minus the one that downgrade earnings, they're picking up. They were at minus 40% in February. Now they've been ranging between 0 and -10%. So oil is also stabilizing. Our house view expects $60 a barrel for the next 12 months. So in that sense, we think the economic activity is picking up. We like stories where we can see recovery and reforms. That's the case for Brazil and India, for example, in the equity market. We like both countries. We still like high-yielding currencies like the Russian ruble, the real, India, and Indonesia. And yes, I think at least maybe what we like to monitor and see what's going to happen. I think right now is still uncertain is how it's going to be, if we're going to see some protectionism in the U.S., right? You have countries connected to the U.S. in export. But for now, we're just looking at that. And the other, another variable we've seen changing, they have been the increase in the U.S. interest rate. And I think one point that is interesting when you look at equities and you look at the past hiking cycles in the U.S., in those cycles where earnings were picking up, the equity market rallied 3 months after the beginning of the cycle. So this goes back to the same lesson, right? As long as earnings and fundamentals are recovering, the asset class should be performing well.
More now, as promised earlier, on continued loose monetary settings and on how fresh central bank innovations help drive good credit performance this year. How did that work exactly? Well, Carolina Corvalan has more.
There's a very direct relationship. So the fact that yields, global government bond yields have been declining, directly feeds into higher performance for credit. And there's a second link that it also promotes the so-called portfolio rebalancing effect, whereby investors to gain further yield have to reach further down the quality spectrum. And in so doing, they are pressuring the credit spreads lower. And that also leads to credit performance.
So in terms of continued loose monetary settings, what's ahead? More of the same? Or could we see some changes?
I think we've already started to see a change to that. So we've seen rising inflation expectations globally, particularly in the U.S. We think that the U.S. Fed should continue to gradually normalize rates going forward. However, it's worth mentioning that by historical standards, monetary policy should remain relatively easy. In the U.S., Fed Chair Yellen also indicated tolerance to run a high-pressure economy, so we think that rates still will be gradually rising next year in the U.S. Also had the ECB recently announced an extension of its asset purchase program until the end of 2017. So clearly, in the Eurozone, monetary policy remains very easy. Draghi also highlighted that the risk of deflation has diminished, but there are still no convincing signs on upward trend in underlying inflation. So the ECB is still on quite a cautious stance, we feel. And that's going to provide continuous buying pressure in Euro fixed income and further technical support for Eurozone credit assets, we feel. And also the BOJ is also maintaining, we think it should continue to maintain its very easy monetary policy stance. So while generally there has been increasing inflation expectations, I think monetary policy will continue to remain quite easy. And as global growth is improving, that should continue to remain quite a supportive environment for credit, we think.
Finally on the programme, let's consider something several of our panel have mentioned, namely the importance of focusing on the fundamentals. But how easy will that actually be to do in the months ahead? We asked Soledad Lopez whether events as unpredictable as, for instance, the rise of Trump, make maintaining that focus harder.
I think in the end, you look at all your drivers and what will be supportive for the market, right? For example, we've been seeing a lot of news and headline about sanctions in Russia, and the index MSCI Russia is up 40% year to date, right? But the economy is starting to recover and they're expecting positive growth next year. Earnings are also picking up. So I think in the end, I think right now we don't know how it's going to be the policies that we're going to have in this new, with the new elected president. But in some way, that's why we like to stick to this economic recovery and reform stories, right? At least till we have more visibility. And we're also looking and trying to, another point to look at is the relationship with the U.S., right? Those countries that they have the highest share of export to GDP to the U.S., the ones that has the lowest. But for now, we just try to remain selective and we look for recovery and reform stories.
And we end this 2016 look back with another key lesson from the year just gone. Here's Dirk Effenberger.
Don't panic during times of stress. I think that's might be a general good advice in life, but it's particularly important in finance, as the best days on equity markets usually follow sharp sell-offs, and that is what we have seen after the surprising political outcomes during the summer and in November this year. And for example, we calculated for a Swiss investor who invested in the S&P 500 30 years ago, if he missed just 10 days out of these 30 days, he lost 50% of his overall performance. So that's a quite significant number that really gives the message of staying invested and don't panic during times of stress.
And that's Dirk Effenberger bringing us to the end of this 116th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week on Monocle 24. Don't forget to tune in at the same time next week for our Look Ahead special, where our experts consider what 2017 might have in store. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.